22, please. Joshua chapter 22 for our reading this morning. I'm just reading the first few verses. Joshua chapter 22 and beginning to read from verse number 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of a commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye and get you into your own tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went into their tents. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. I do understand when we come to these chapters in Joshua, it's very difficult sometimes to keep the attention going, because a lot of it's repetitive, a lot of it's just about the land being distributed. And you read over and over again and you wonder what God is trying to say. Well, I've spent a bit of time in chapter 21 and 22. And I just want to draw out some things which I trust will be a blessing to you this morning. The title of my sermon this morning is Blessed, Then What? Blessed, Then What? The children of Israel surely had been blessed. As we've been reading, the land has been conquered. They're ready to take possession, and they take possession of quite a bit of it. And they've been enjoyed wonderful victories after wonderful victories. They truly have been blessed. Then what? I wonder, have you been blessed recently? When Lord Nelson reported to the British Admiralty his greatest victory over the French fleet in the Battle of the Nile, he said that victory wasn't a word that was big enough to describe what had happened. When we consider what the Lord has done for us, how we have been rescued from a lost eternity, how we can share in his ministry whatever the Lord has given you to do, when we consider that Satan has been defeated, surely we can't find words big enough to describe the victories that we have enjoyed as God's people. Israel had reached perhaps one of the greatest moments in their history. They had known many, many victories. The land has been divided out. Yes, there's still much to do, and yet they're enjoying a time of rest. The Lord really has blessed them. And even in spite of the lockdown, in spite of what has been going on around our country, I'm sure like me, you're fed up with the restrictions, you're fed up with these lockdowns. And yet we can say with the psalmist this morning, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you can only praise the Lord in the good times, then you've got a problem with your relationship with the Lord this morning. And surely as we look around us, we have still much to praise and to thank the Lord for this morning. I'm sure the Lord has blessed you in some ways. And we're asking the question this morning, blessed, then what? Let's go back into chapter 21 and verse 43. I want to look at the blessing and how it should be appreciated. The blessing and how it should be appreciated. Look at verse 43. This is a mighty statement here that Joshua will bring to Israel. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. They feared not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. What a mighty statement. If we were to break it down this morning, we can see that God didn't forget his promises. He gave them all that he swore, all that he swore to give unto their fathers. Even though time had passed, even though generations passed, God will keep his promises. The Lord will not forget his promises. I wonder, has your patience been tested? I wonder, are you struggling in these days, even struggling believing the promises of God? Well, here we see that God will never forget his promises. God didn't withhold his peace for them. Look at verse 44 in chapter 21 again. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. Notice the Lord gave them rest. They had security. They had victory. They had peace. I know we're living in difficult times. I know they're troubled times. And for many of you, and no doubt you've gone perhaps through difficult times, but even listening this morning, as I was listening to the storm outside howling as I was getting ready this morning in my own comfortable home, it's a little bit like what the Lord has given us, peace in the midst of the storm. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. God didn't forget his promises. The Lord didn't withhold his peace, and he won't do it to you either. And you know, the Lord showed him his power. Look at verse 44 again. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. All the enemies had been defeated. You know, we are on the victory side this morning. Sometimes we forget that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember at all times, if God be for us, whoever can be against us this morning? You see the promises, you see the peace, you see the power, and you see that God didn't fail in his purposes either. Look at verse 45 again in chapter 21. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And you know, it's the same for you. It will come to pass. You know, ultimately, we look forward to that day when we'll be in glory, and it will come to pass. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. God had really blessed Israel. What effect was it going to have on them? Go back up the chapter to verse 1 in Joshua chapter 21. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. Here were the Levites. These were the servants of the Lord. Remember, they had no inheritance in the promised land. But they're coming now to see what they're going to receive from the hand of the Lord. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 10, as I said, that the Lord was their inheritance. They weren't going to be given any specific territory for their tribe. In Joshua 13, verse 14, we read this. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel, made by fire, are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And so they're given these 48 cities spread throughout the land. These 48 cities were for the Levites to live. How would they be provided for? Here are the servants of the Lord. These are the men that were in control of the work of the Lord. How would their needs be met? Look at Joshua chapter 21 and verse number 10. And you'll remember this from a previous study, at least part of it. When the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had for theirs was the first lot, and they give unto them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. Now, if you cast your memory back, you remember when we looked a few weeks ago at the subject, give me this mountain, you remember how Caleb received Hebron as an inheritance. And Caleb is given, if you read on in those verses, verse 12 to 13, you'll see that Caleb still has the lands round about, but the city has been given to the Levites. You know, Caleb didn't object. Caleb didn't moan. He didn't complain. God had blessed Caleb, and now Caleb's giving back to the Lord. Isn't that how it happens? You see, blessed, then what? What appreciation do we have for the blessing of God to be upon us this morning? I know the subject of giving is never a very popular subject. It's not one that we like to preach. It's not one that people like to hear. But when we come into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, Paul said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. If God has prospered you, don't hold out on God, because you're going to stifle the blessing of God upon you. And you see, the blessing of God should lead to our appreciation. And we would want to give something back to the Lord. Blessed. Then what this morning? What comes next? You see, not only that the blessing should lead to our appreciation, but you see the battle and what needs to be acknowledged. We're thinking again of blessed. Then what? I'm thinking of the ministry of encouragement. Henry Ford, who came up with the ideal model for a motor vehicle, was laughed by many, many people. And when he showed it to Thomas Edison, the great inventor, when he saw it, he thumped the table and says, "You've got it. You've got it." And Henry Ford said that thump of the table was the greatest encouragement that he ever got. He said it was worth worlds to me. I wonder, have you encouraged anyone recently?
Has God blessed you? Blessed. Then what? You see what's recommended here. Look at Joshua 22, verse 1. We're coming to the verses we've read this morning. And Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember, the battle is over. The land has been distributed. And Joshua is going to speak to the 2.5 tribes that had settled on the other side of the River Jordan. Look at verses 2 to 3. And said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. You see, they respected those who were in control. They respected Moses, first of all, and then Joshua says, ye have obeyed my voice. These brethren had shown respect for authority. Look at verse number 3. Ye have not left your brethren these many days, but unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. There were difficult days. Remember what happened in Jericho. You remember what happened in Ai. You remember what happened with the Gibeonites. You remember battle after battle after battle. It would have been easy to walk away, but these men weren't fair weather friends. They weren't fair weather Christians. You have not left your brethren many days unto this day. They stood with the people of God through thick and thin. What about you this morning? And you see, Joshua is commending them. Joshua is encouraging them. Look at verse 4. Now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return you and get you into your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of the Jordan. And Joshua is saying to them, you're free to go back to the other side of the Jordan. For 7 years you've stayed when the battle was ongoing. Do you know what Joshua is doing? He's encouraging them. He is indeed paying tribute to them. He is thanking them for what they have done. You know, during the Boer War at the siege of Ladysmith, at a crucial moment, there was a man, a civilian, who used to go around the troops and discourage them. Do you know what they did with him? They threw him into jail. And the judge said, it's a crime to speak such discouraging words at a time like this. Dear believer, you're an encourager or a discourager this morning. When was the last time you encouraged a child of God? When was the last time you encouraged the servant of the Lord? Has God blessed you? Has God blessed you in all that's going on in this assembly or whatever assembly you belong to this morning? These things just don't happen. The drive-in church just doesn't happen. The Zoom Sunday school, the cast, the ladies' meeting, all the things that are going on, they just don't happen. People are involved. People give of their time. People put their shoulder to the wheel. Have you encouraged any of them recently? Blessed, then what? Has God blessed you? Is it time to be an encourager this morning? You see what's recommended, but just in case encouragement might go to their head, they're reminded of their responsibility as well. Look at verse number 5, Joshua chapter 22. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Isn't that an amazing verse of scripture? You're to love the Lord your God. You know, if you love the Lord, you'll want to be with him. You're to walk in all his ways. We used to walk in darkness, 1 John 1 verse 6. Now we walk in the light, 1 John 1 verse 7. We used to walk by the flesh, now we walk by the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We used to walk by sight, now we walk by faith. We used to walk in error, now we walk in truth. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You see what Joshua is reminding them of? Yes, we want to encourage people, but there's the ongoing responsibility to love the Lord, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him. That word cleave was used of a husband and wife coming together. That's how you're to cleave unto the Lord. You remember what you read about Ruth? 1 verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. She went back into Moab country, but Ruth clave unto her. That's the same word. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. You see the responsibility to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him. And then it goes a little further in verse 5, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Is that how you serve the Lord? Not serve him because you've always done it, not because everyone else is doing it, not because it makes you look good, not because it makes you feel good, not because you think you can't be done without, but with all your heart and with all your soul this morning. The psalmist said, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The psalmist again said, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Tell me, when it comes to serving the Lord, do you do it with a long face? Does someone have to twist your arm up around your back to get you to do something? You're to serve the Lord with gladness this morning. Oh, you see the responsibility. They're to love God. Has coldness come in? They're to walk in all his ways. Have you wandered away? They're to keep his commandments. Have you disobeyed? They're to cleave unto him. As distance become you and him, they are to serve him. Have you lost interest in the work of the Lord? We're looking for those who will willingly and joyfully, wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, serve the Lord. You're to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and keep his commandments. You see, the battle, what needs to be acknowledged, there needs to be that appreciation. You see the need for encouragement. You see it's recommended. You see the responsibility. And then you see the recognition. Again, Joshua 22, verse number 8. And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle and silver, and with gold and brass and with iron, and very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. These men who were at the forefront would take the rewards home and they would share them with their families. And it's always good to remember those who remain with the stuff. Yes, thank God for those who are on the front line, but we're mindful of those who carry out the humble tasks, the tasks that are not seen for the work of the Lord. You remember in David's day, 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? As his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his heart be that tarrieth by the stuff. We have to remember those who tarry by the stuff, those who are carrying out the unseen task. And what an unseen task prayer is. And how we thank God for the prayer of those unseen warriors. You see the blessings, there should be our appreciation. You see the battle, things we need to acknowledge. Then we come to what I've called the bother that could arise. Blessed. Then what? Yes, I think there has to be that appreciation because God has blessed us. We want to give something back to the Lord. Yes, there has to be that acknowledgement. We want to encourage people. And it's good to be blessed. But here's a sad tale in these chapters as we dig into them this morning. I've called this the bother that could arise. These men had just finished battling the enemy. They had stood shoulder to shoulder for God. But here we see in a few moments, they were nearly battling each other. Hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe that the people of God could turn against each other. After such a blessed time. Look at Joshua 22, verse 10. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see. These 2.5 tribes on their way back across the Jordan, they decide they're going to build an altar. Perhaps they saw the memorials. You remember we looked at them in the early chapters of Joshua, and they felt they needed to do something. Now look at verse 11. Do you see the response here? This altar was big. It was great to look upon. How would the other tribes on the other side of the Jordan react? Look at verse 11. And the children of Israel heard say. You see, there was hearsay. Always a dangerous thing when there's hearsay. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. Word starts to spread around. Did you see what they do? Did you see what they're at? And these words spread and people begin to get angry. Is this a threat? Is this a challenge to God? Is it a challenge to the people of God? Look at verse 12. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go up in war against them. Here's men that stood shoulder to shoulder, prayed together, battled together, wept together, and now they're going to turn against each other. Dear child of God, don't let this happen to you. blessed, then what? You see, the devil doesn't want to see you blessed. The devil doesn't want you to begin on with the Lord. But you see, when there's victory and when God is blessing, then there's going to be bother because the old devil is not happy. These men are going to turn on each other. You see the words and you see the war, but then comes the wisdom. Thank God there was wisdom here. Look at verse 13. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, unto the children of Gad, unto the half tribe of Manasseh. And so Israel decides to talk to them. Verse 15. And they came unto the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake unto them, saying. You know what they decide to do? They decide to check this out. I wonder, is there a believer watching this morning and you're angry? You're annoyed. Maybe annoyed with another brother or sister in the Lord. Maybe even annoyed within the home. I wonder if you actually checked it out. Have you gone by hearsay? Have you worked this all out in your mind? Because that's what the children of Israel did, and they were ready to go for war. But now they decide they're going to talk to these men. Phinehas seems to be the man who's the spokesman here for Israel. You see his name in verse 13. Look what he says in verse 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the Lord God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have builded you an altar that you might rebel against the Lord? You see, they're being accused of being rebels and going against the Lord and setting up somewhere to sacrifice. There couldn't be sacrifices carried out anywhere than Shiloh. Verse 17, Phinehas reminds them of past sins of Israel. Is the iniquity of Pur too little for us, for which we are not cleansed until this day, although there were a plague in the congregation of the Lord? They had mixed with the Moabites. I'm not going into the story this morning. 24,000 died as a result of the plague. Look at verse 20. Did not Achan, we're reminded of the sin of Achan. And so Phinehas is reminding of the sin and what they were doing by setting up this altar. You see, from verse 21 to 34, the 2.5 tribes explain their reason behind it. Look at verse 21. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, go down to verse 26, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice. They said, we weren't intending to sacrifice. This was never for sacrifice. We weren't trying to take away from Shiloh. You see, they'd gone by hearsay, and they'd lost the head, and they were ready to go into battle against their own people. And I would say to the people of God this morning, be so careful. Blessed, then what? You don't want bother. You don't want division to come in among the people of God. You see the peace that prevailed. Look down to verse 30. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with them heard the words that the children of Reuben and children of Gad and the children of Manasseh speak, it pleased them. Now, what if they hadn't checked it out? What if they'd gone by hearsay? How many people would have died? How much blood would have been shed? How much damage would have been done? Let me say to God's people this morning, be careful. If you hear someone saying something about another brother or sister, or saying something about the church, whether it's this church or the church that you belong to, is it true? But let me ask another question. What if it is true? Is it worth division? Is it worth tearing a place apart? Is it worth the rows and the bickering? How big an issue is this? You see the bother that was going to happen. Only someone with a wise head stepped in and said, let's talk to these people. Blessed. Then what? You see the blessing that must be appreciated. You see the battle that should be acknowledged. You see the bother that may arise. And then we see the border lines that may alter. I think this is a sad tale. Because here are the 2.5 tribes, and they're going to head back to the wilderness side. You know, the wilderness just bordered Egypt. They were moving from the promised land to Egypt, just on the edge of the world. Tell me, is there a child of God when you're just living on the edge? Just on the edge of the world. Maybe you've dabbled in the world. Maybe you've set one foot into the world. Look at the sadness here. You know, Joshua, as I said, has commended them. They were so gifted. They were so capable. They were so able. And so are you. And yet you're nearer Egypt than you are to Canaan this morning. Blessed. These men had been blessed. They had enjoyed victory. But here they are, and they're turning their back. And they're heading across the River Jordan, and they're going closer and closer to Egypt, to the world. You see the sadness? You see the seriousness? You see, it was these borderline believers that nearly caused the war. How close to the Lord are you this morning? This was their own little plan. This was never God's plan. They acted in according to the flesh. I wonder, is there some here this morning and you're hiding behind this pandemic? It's convenient for you that there's no church meetings. No one knows you're missing. It's convenient to you. You're no longer at the prayer meeting, but who knows? And you're in the world and you've walked away from the Lord, but who knows? And you have the pandemic as a cloak because nobody knows. God knows. Where are you this morning? Blessed. How you've been blessed. How you've been used of God. But where are you this morning? And these 2.5 tribes that have been so used take to their heels and make their way towards Egypt. And they even cloak it under something spiritual. Have you cloaked your backsliding with this pandemic? Of course it's difficult. It's hard for all of us. It's tough. You see the seriousness. You see the scope. Look at verse 19, chapter 22. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord. You know what Joshua is saying? You can come here anytime. There's room in the promised land for you. Oh, listen. Maybe you're in Egypt this morning. Maybe you're in the wilderness this morning. Listen, there's room in the promised land. There's room for you this morning. God has a place for you. God doesn't want you hiding behind this pandemic as some sort of a cloak where nobody knows where you are spiritually. God knows where you are this morning. He wants to draw you back into the fold this morning. You see these borderline believers, you see the sadness and the seriousness and the scope. But you know, we get a glimpse of their spiritualness as well. I would dare to say they couldn't be believed. Look down to verse 24 of Joshua 22. I know I'm just pulling little bits out of this. I hope it's coming together for you this morning. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? And this is the fear they say they have, that their children, somehow the other children from the other side will say, what have you got to do with the Lord? Isn't that a sad thing for a child to have to ask? Daddy, would your children have to ask, what have we got to do with the Lord? What have you got to do with the Lord? Mommy, this morning, would your children ever have to ask, what have you got to do with the Lord? Is it not obvious to them that you belong to the Lord? It obviously wouldn't be obvious to the children on the Egypt side of Jordan. It wouldn't be obvious that their mum and their dad really loved the Lord and walked in his ways and really served the Lord. It wouldn't be obvious. They would have to ask the question, what have you got to do with the Lord? What a damning indictment of these 2.5 tribes. And they're saying it's all about the children. You know the truth in Numbers 32, verse 1? Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Do you know the truth is? They thought more of the cattle than they did of their children. It's like Lot when he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. A great place to have cattle. What a place to take a family. A hellhole. Do you think more of your cattle and your possessions than your wee children? Oh, you couldn't believe them. You know, they couldn't be blamed. Look at verse 25. For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us. Now, they're thinking what the children of the other tribes would say. But you'll notice it's God that made the border. It wasn't God that made the border. They made the border. But it's always somebody else's fault. And if you're in the wilderness this morning, who's to blame? Joshua said, there's room here for you. You're gifted, you're talented. God can use you. And you've probably got a list of names of people you can blame. And maybe you're even blaming God. And the Lord's saying to you this morning, the buck stops with you. You know, they couldn't be believed and they couldn't be blamed. And you know, they looked like they didn't belong. Look at verse 34. We're nearly finished. Joshua chapter 22. Thank you for staying with us this morning. Apologies again for any interruption during the meeting. Joshua 22, verse 34. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us and the Lord. They build this thing and they call it Ed, which just, I think, means a witness. And this Ed of a thing was basically their way of saying, we belong to the Lord. You know, we have plenty of Eds in 2021. We have people who want to wear crosses. We have people who want to put stickers in their car to say they belong to the Lord. And maybe these things are okay. But listen, if you need an Ed, there's something wrong. If your children can't tell that you're a child of God by how you walk and how you talk, what's the point in having some Ed? If your neighbors don't know that you love the Lord with your heart and soul and mind by the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you behave, then what's the point in having some big Ed? Some big sticker somewhere saying, I love the Lord. But it's not obvious. And that's why you need to have an Ed. You see, they looked like they didn't belong, so they stuck this big Ed up. Isn't it sad that they walked past the memorials? You remember those memorials spoke of the children of Israel coming through the Jordan. They had died to self. They were alive unto Christ. They were living on the victory ground. They walked past all of that back towards Egypt, and all they had, they stuck up an Ed. That's all they had. I hope my walk, I hope my talk is my end. What about you? You know, the sad thing is, 1 Chronicles 5, verse 26, and the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilsener, king of Assyria, and he carried away, and here is the Assyrians coming down, and look who they're going to carry away first. Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were the first to fall. They were the first to be conquered. And they were carried away. Ed and all. Because they had marched past the Jordan. And headed towards Egypt. Blessed. Then what? Have you that appreciation this morning? Is that appreciation seen and that you want to give something back to the Lord? Have you acknowledged this morning? Have you encouraged others because of how God has blessed you? Are you big enough to see the big picture and avoid the battle? Because the old devil, after blessing, will seek to bring division. Are you like these 2.5 tribes this morning? You're dwelling on the wrong side. And as I say, maybe coronavirus has been a convenience for you. Because nobody can see what you're doing now. Nobody knows where you are spiritually. But God knows. God wants you back. Back to where you belong. Blessed. Then what? In a couple of moments, Victoria is going to sing, He leadeth me, He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful followers I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Will you be a faithful follower today? Blessed. Then what? Keep being a faithful follower. Let's close in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for the time we've been able to spend around the Word of God. We thank you for the word from Ian to the boys and girls. We pray, Lord, you'll speak into their young hearts. And Lord, that they might seek the Lord while he is to be found. Bless all who have tuned in this morning. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will work. Lord, regardless of technical difficulties, we pray, Lord, that you'll work through all of this. And Lord, if there are any borderline believers this morning, Lord, will you draw them back? Bring them into the promised land. Lord, that they may grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. Lord, there may be someone who needs to be encouraged this morning. Lord, will you raise up encouragers among the people in this assembly? Lord, there may be people who need to know, just know that you're with them, Lord. We pray, Lord, they'll understand that you're one who will keep your promises and one who will carry out your purposes and that you will give God's people your peace. Bless thy word to all of us this morning. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.